Claus.
The teddy bear is waiting to greet those children at the hospital are a stark reminder of the trauma these children have been through, and at such a very young age.
The president in Nantucket spending much of the holiday on the phone with Middle East leaders, helping negotiate the hostage release and that pause in Israeli fighting. Israel releasing nearly 40 Palestinian prisoners in the swap. The hope is faded to find survivors from a large mudslide in remote Wrangell, Alaska. Now they're trying to remove large amounts of mud to find the bodies. Be careful with that cantaloupe. The CDC reporting nearly 100 cases of salmonella in 32 states. 2 people died, more than 40 in the hospital. The CDC has a full recall list on the outbreak section of its website. Retailers hoping Black Friday sales and inflation-beating discounts keep consumer spending through Christmas. This is ABC News.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common...
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. After binging on today's Black Friday sales, Wisconsin leaders are urging people to spend the rest of the season shopping small. Now through December 31st is Shop Small Wisconsin season. Governor Evers says shopping locally benefits local economies and communities overall. More people with disabilities are flying than ever before, and they're filing more complaints with federal authorities. Kendra Davenport of Easter Seals says air travel needs to be more accessible.
When the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed, it really mandated that most modes of transit adopt modalities that would make them more accessible, and air travel was given a pass.
Advocates want Congress to legislate improvements by 2026. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A holiday tradition continues with an expanded schedule this weekend, including games on Black Friday. Football and Thanksgiving have been served up together for more than 140 years, the first featuring college teams Yale and Princeton. The NFL, National Football League, took over the holiday games in 1920. By the 1930s, Detroit became host to the yearly game. And the Packers kicked off one of the longest runs as a regular Lions opponent on Thanksgiving. A few games stand out, and some football experts point at the 1962 matchup. An undefeated Packers team lost in Detroit when the Lions beat Green Bay 26-14 after sacking quarterback Bart Starr 11 times. The Packers and Lions also hold the record for one of the holiday games with the highest score. Green Bay won this one in 1986, 44-40. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mullen. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's the last game of the regular season for Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football, the Badgers in Minnesota tomorrow. Head coach Luke Fickell.
The thing that when I look at Minnesota offensively in particular, I think the balance that they have and the ability, the quarterback's a good athlete, the quarterback can make every throw. They are committed to the run game, but are pretty dynamic in the throwing game. You know, ask me what leaves you up at night. That's the balance that keeps me up at night.
Kickoff at 2:30. NFL. The Packers now 5-6 after beating the Lions 29-22 on Thanksgiving. Jordan Love with 3 touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 125, asked how good were his receivers.
Receivers balled out today. You know, that's that confidence. We just keep building that. And they're going up there and making plays right now, and it's huge.
The Lions have been struggling with turnovers, losing 3 fumbles to Green Bay. Quarterback Jared Goff.
Yeah, you know, you look at them individually, like the one where I'm throwing the ball, scrambling, I got to take care of the ball better, no doubt.
That's Lions quarterback Jared Goff. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. 16 tonight, under cloudy skies, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High of 30 tomorrow. 19 tomorrow night. Chance of snow. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 22.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree with you more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local civic media radio station or the civic media app. Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Happy Black Friday, Wisconsin. We hope you're enjoying time with family and maybe saving a little at your favorite local stores. We're not in the studio today, so we hope you'll enjoy this special Best Of episode.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Never forget, you can go get that app for free from your favorite app store, and then you can hear us wherever you are on planet Earth, crystal clear. Well, I am so excited, like tickled is an understatement, to be joined by the musical director, one of the original founding members, and musician extraordinaire, Al Petrelli of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Welcome, Al, and my break a leg on tour, my friend. It's so fun to have you here.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me. And I appreciate the sentiment, but I did break my leg in the middle of a show in 2008, and I shan't repeat that. So,
oy. Well, I did it last year, not last year, 2021. Tib fib compound fracture. I'm with you, man. Like, one and done. Never want to do that stuff again. Brutal recovery. How you doing now? You good?
Yeah.
Oh,
awesome.
Wonderful. Awesome. Well, first of all, I want to say everybody out there in Wisconsin listening land, I think it is the coolest thing that TSO is beginning their Christmas season tour in Green Bay, Wisconsin on November 15th. Like, how dope is that? Thank you for picking Wisconsin to start your show. Why Green Bay? Why kick it off there?
You know, I have absolutely nothing to do with the routing or any of that. I just know that our management team, they're usually a year and a half before the tour actually starts looking at the routing for something of this size. And listen, the Resch has been a great home for us forever. I mean, to walk through the parking lot and then look at Lambeau Field and, you know,
yes,
have all that that is Green Bay. It's outstanding to do so. So I'm glad it worked out. Opening night on November 15th, we're going to start working ridiculously hard starting tomorrow to make sure that we run this show two or three times a day for the better part of 3 weeks. So opening that will be a perfect first show because it's mandatory and paramount to us to outdo ourselves from last year. And that's why we pretty much work year round to really make the show even bigger and better than it has been. And last year was pretty over the top.
Your sound is so interesting and layered in it, and it comes from so many different genres. It's this wonderfully integrative sound, and it's immersive, right? The concerts, the sound systems. How many trucks are you guys rolling up to these venues? How long does it take to set up and break down the stage? Like, how awesome is your road crew to do this? I can't even imagine. And that's without getting to how many of you there are. But how? give us an idea how many trucks you got.
Well, to put it in perspective, this TSO opened its eyes, if you will, for the first time in winter of 95 when the song Christmas Eve Sarajevo went to radio and changed everybody's life involved. We did our first shows in 1999, and we had one 24-foot box truck, two buses, and a fog machine. Okay. Last year, I counted 21 tractor trailers, 12 buses, and 100 people on the crew, and a lot more fog machines. You know, so it has grown up over the past several decades. Just like one of your kids growing up, you know, from infancy to all of a sudden, here we are. So when you look at the schedule and you look at the amount of people involved with it. You know, it's just been a slow growth over decades. How many trucks do we have this year? Probably 22 or 23. You know, crew, 80% of the crew has been with us for the better part of 20-something years. You know, they love this as much as we do. When people ask the setup time, I tell them they have 30 days to set up the rig for the first show. They got 8 hours for the second show, you know? So they're rehearsing the show as much as we're rehearsing the show. Yes. We get some, you know, they even have like the truck parking down to, you know, it being choreographed to who backs in first, who does what. It's a science. And watching it unfurl is fascinating to me. Like, that's why I'm so psyched. We just talking about it off air. I'm getting on an airplane tomorrow to fly to Omaha, and I'm not even going to the hotel. I want to go right to the Mid-America Center where we're rehearsing and walk into the arena and for the first time this year, see exactly what's going on. You know, I feel like a 15-year-old every time I do that, you know? So it's as exciting and brand new for me and everyone else on stage and underneath the stage it is for you guys in the audience.
There is something, the way that like empty arenas and like massively huge theaters smell like. I have never been able to accurately describe it to anybody, but it is a thing, right? And there's that like sort of electrical energy, and like the more people that start to come in, and it's like, oh yeah, man, I can. This is going to happen in a couple hours. I love that feeling. You guys do create such a unique atmosphere. Has that evolved over time, or did you come out like fully birthed, like, we're going to have pyro and it's going to have this incredible sound? Like, how did you get here?
That is the $20 question of the day, girl. In answer to your question, as far as did we, my job has always been on the musical side. I've been Paul O'Neill's musical director from the jump. And what you got to understand about Paul, he was a couple years older than me, but we both grew up in or around New York City in the 70s.
Oh, I was going to ask you about your accent. I lived in Manhattan for a few years. I was like, my man, I haven't had anybody talk like this to me in a while. Go ahead now.
It's going to come back, I promise you.
Okay, cool.
But listen, so you know the city then. You know, you got Madison Square Garden. And back in the day, you know, Zeppelin would come through, AC/DC, Aerosmith, Pink Floyd, The Who, you know. Yep. And when they come to New York, they'd always put on even more production because that was hometown for most of the record companies back then. Sure. And uptown, you had Lincoln Center, you know, and you had the maestro, Leonard Bernstein, conducting the New York Philharmonic. And somewhere in between it, so you got the Theater District in Broadway with Andrew Lloyd Webber's works coming to life, you know. And when you grow up in that environment, and when you grow up a child of the 60s listening to AM radio, because it was before FM radio, you're just, the only two styles of music that we had growing up was good and bad. That was it. So it's either you liked what was coming through the little car stereo or you didn't like it. And it was songs from West Side Story and A Sound of Music. It was Beatles. It was Motown. It was all, just everything. Yeah. So if you thought that that was Paul and my kind of like musical introduction to everything, when he decided to sit down and create the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, it wasn't painted into any particular corner. He wasn't getting jammed up in any one particular genre of music because all his songs, all his characters have to have a different underscoring. And that's mm-hmm. what's fun and so fascinating for me as a musician. One minute, you know, I'd be playing, you know, honky tonk blues piano. Next minute I'm playing, you know, that stuff on the guitar and everything in between. One second I'm recording a Mozart symphony, you know, or Beethoven symphony. So when you think about musically how diverse it is, and you go back to, you know, us cutting our teeth in the city, when we did our first show, you know, it was like a fog machine was, that was a big effect in 99, you know, and a couple lights. And then the next year, more shows were added and Paul put everything back into the show. So there's more fog machines. Once he got introduced to pyro, it was on, you know.
Right.
He wanted pyro. He didn't just want to do what Kiss had done, you know, just blow stuff up. He wanted the pyro to be another member of the band, so it's dancing to Beethoven.
It serves a purpose. It's so intentional. Yes.
100%. It's all part of the show. And I'm glad you said that because, you know, as a listener in the audience, the listener may or may not realize why this is so impactful or why they're enjoying it so much because everything is spot on, synced up perfectly, musically and visually. And it creates a whole other dimension of the experience that is a TSO show.
it scratches sort of that subliminal itch in a way when like all of your senses are firing, right? You've got, and you can feel like the human connection. Live music is so beautiful for that, right? And music that is integrative in the way that TSO is. Just before you came on air, I'd shared with some folks, I grew up playing the violin and I was about burned out because I'd come up playing classical and my mom found this group. And we played everything, show tunes, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, church music, all the R&B. And it was like all the little parts of my brain started to light up because it was like, oh, yeah, this is much more fun when you get to do all of it. And you guys are such an incredible sort of very experiential, very physical manifestation of that. For folks that haven't listened to it, you've already heard it, I guarantee, right? Like everybody's heard TSO tunes. And if you haven't been to a show, like I cannot more highly recommend it. It's such a, you're so energized from what you all do on that stage. It's so appreciated. I do want to mention, if you want to get those tickets in Green Bay, November 15th, that's where TSO kicks off this amazing tour. They're also playing November 27th at the Fiserv Forum right here in downtown Milwaukee near the end of their tour. They're doing 62 cities, 104 performances between November 15th and December 30th. I'm exhausted even thinking about it. Holy. Yes. How many performing musicians are in TSO right now?
Well, on stage at any given time, you're going to have about 24, 25 people, which is including, you know, the string section.
Yes.
You know, what people don't really know until I make a point of introducing them to it is the, you know, 90 or so bodies underneath and above and behind the stage that allow this thing to come to life sometimes twice a day, you know. And like you said, you know, you may not really understand all the where the devil's in the details and why this whole thing has come together, but I feel it's my responsibility to bring to everybody's attention how many people it really takes to put a show on like this, never to miss a downbeat. You know, I would do this show 3 times a day. I live for this. I turn into a 15-year-old every time I put that guitar around my neck. I don't think that the crew shares my enthusiasm, you know, as much, because in the morning and loading out at midnight and then driving 400 miles to the next show. So, but like I had said earlier, most of them have been with me for decades and they love this thing as much as I do. So there's a lot that goes into it, but house lights go down, curtain comes up, and something blows up on stage. It's the best time ever. Love it.
Yeah, it requires so much precision to pull off what you all do that I deeply respect how much thanks you're expressing for all the people that have to contribute to make that work in such a seamless way for that audience experience. It's really something special. Anybody that's ever done even the smallest production, and that could have been when you were a kid in your backyard, somebody's got to be standing back there telling people where to go and when to do it, right? Like, it doesn't matter. It takes so much effort to do that. I wanted to share some facts about why, new facts that maybe all the listeners haven't heard about why TSO is so special. And the first thing I wanted to start with was the fact that of every ticket you sell, a dollar is donated to charity. And so over this incredible touring history that you have, frankly, record setting, you will always be sort of in the annals of touring musical live performances. Over that history, begun in, was it 1999? To date, y'all have given away over $18 million to charities. And that is just, who had the foresight to go, hey man, we can share the wealth a little bit here and have an impact? Cause that's really incredible.
Yeah, who's the cool socialist on your team, Al? Do you need another?
I'll say that last part again.
Oh, if you needed another, I just, you know, former roadie could always be a current one, Al, in case you ever need somebody.
No. Listen, all credits where credit's due is Paul O'Neill and the O'Neill family. You know, when I met Paul, it was in the middle 80s in New York City. We were both kind of cutting our teeth, kicking around town. We'd run into each other at some club or some studio, venue, whatever. And, you know, we became buds. And, like, we'd be walking to get a slice of pizza or whatever we were doing. like clockwork. We'd be shoulder to shoulder on Third Avenue going somewhere. And I turn over to talk to him and I'm like, where'd you go? And I look and he's half a block behind me. And this happened almost every time we were out together. And he's handing some random stranger a $10 bill, a $5 bill, a $20, have in his pocket. And he would tell me, he goes, look, dude.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Please enjoy this special best of episode of The Maggie Dawn Show.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Love it.
That's the reaction we were hoping for.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. I mean, everybody has heard that cut of an intro, right? And it's like, oh, yay. I'm so glad this one's on the radio. There's so much holiday music that I can't bear anymore. But TSO stuff is always such a pleasure to hear. I'm so humbled to be joined by the musical director and one of the original founding members of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Al Petrelli, joining me from Pennsylvania. We were talking in the break a little bit about New York City and Manhattan in particular. It's so fun to talk to you, hear you talking about different spots in the city. I'm born and raised in Milwaukee, but I ended up having the opportunity to move to New York for work. And it was such, it was like, oh, this is this old pair of jeans that I didn't know fit me this well. You know, it was like, I got a lot of oxygen and a lot of energy and will always take a little bit of New York with me. So such a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining me, Al.
No worries. It's been a pleasure. And thank you so very much for everything.
Yeah. So leading up to your joining me this evening, I was emailing with one of your colleagues trying to set up the show. And I emailed him and I said, hey, we're going to do TSO stuff for intros and outros for the different blocks. And I said, does Al have like a couple, two, three songs that are his absolute favorites? And your guy wrote back and he's like, no, he doesn't. They're all his babies. He's the musical director. And to me, that was like, oh, that told me a lot about you, because there is so much heart into these arrangements. Some of the more familiar music, right? But it sounds so differently. But I got to ask you, Al, I got you here. Come on, there's got to be one that like you particularly love, or at least it's like, boy, I really put it out there when I got that arranged like that, or, you know, reconstructed it. There's got to be one.
Well, it's a fun question because, you know, it's like asking me which one of my children are my favorite. Kind of depends on what day it is, you know, who's been the least. If I had to pick one song, not child, I think the one you were just playing, Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224, because that's the lightning strike that occurred 28 years ago, almost to the day when it first was released accidentally to radio.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, what?
How does something get released accidentally to radio?
I mean, I've definitely released things accidentally on this radio, but.
Well, you got to think about the time, 95, you know, the 80s generation of guitar rock and roll was pretty much over with. The entire Seattle movement was taking over, and that's fine. So here I am in the recording studio in 95 working with Paul O'Neill on this very dark, dramatic piece of music that was basically written to underscore a story that he was trying to tell about the war in Sarajevo.
Right.
Right. You know, when he put the faders up and I looked at him, I was like, dude, what's with the Christmas song? He explained the entire story, you know, about a classical cellist would go down to the town square in Sarajevo and play Bach and Beethoven and Chopin pieces in protest to the bombing. And what Paul didn't know is that I was Alice Cooper's musical director before the war, and I played in Zagreb and Belgrade, and I was in the town square that he was describing in this story, you know? And I said, dude, press record. And that's where I just started kind of noodling with that little theme. He started humming God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. And we were like fist bumping and high fiving. I was like, that is the most incredible piece of music ever. I said, I don't know who's ever going to hear it. You know, who's going to listen to that version of a Christmas song? Well, there was a DJ in Tampa, Florida named Mason Dixon, who it landed in his hand accidentally. He played it for whatever the reason, and his phone lines lit up that he'd never seen a reaction like that. He sent it to Scott Shannon up at WPLJ in New York, which was the parent station. And he goes, you got to play this song just once and see what happens. And it was on. We had the number one requested song in America, I think, within 24 hours. You know you got a hit on your hands when talk radio is playing the song. Yeah. It was extraordinary. And then, this, you know, Christmas time's over, and that was the end of it. But Paul said, no, I'm writing an entire record around that one piece of music. And the record's going to be called Christmas Eve and Other Stories, and the band's going to be called the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And I'm like, I'm in. You know, well, this is, you created an art form. You created fantastic art that didn't exist before.
You and evolved the thing, right? That is, that is extraordinary. I think for so many of us, the holidays can be really difficult. And so there is this incredible humanity in the melancholia, I think the angst, some of the like anger in that. It's just this intensely emotional experience that really connects with anybody that hears it. And I think we all owe you and Paul a debt of thanks because it is so cathartic in so many ways for many of us.
And that you said that, and I appreciate it, because one of the things that I didn't realize, now remember, I recorded this music, I don't know, I was 34, 35 years old, you know, 28 years ago. And getting older, I've realized that so many people relate to Paul's story about missing somebody, because everybody misses somebody. You know, and especially around the holidays, you know, there's an empty chair in my dining room table upstairs for a reason that will always stay empty, because there's people in my life that have left for whatever the reason. Either we don't talk because life kicked in or they passed on. But everybody in the arena, everybody listening to Paul's beautifully written story can relate and make it about themselves, because you can't get away from it. In life, you're going to miss people. And I always say that I'd rather miss somebody than have never had them in my life. You know, and you're right, it is very bittersweet. And there is a certain amount of stress and melancholy. But when you look around the arena, when the story's coming to life, you know, you think that you're alone in that sentiment of missing somebody, when you realize the other 17,000 people are going through the same thing. It doesn't negate what you're feeling, but there's some sense of, I don't know, maybe community or family, that we're all kind of going through this together, and it makes it a little easier to deal with. And it's okay to be sad, you know? There's nothing you can do about it.
We're going to have to end right there with it. Being together makes the sad stuff much easier to bear. A burden shared is a burden borne. It has been my great honor to be joined by Al Petrelli of the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Get those tickets, folks. They kick off the concert Green Bay, Wisconsin on November 15th. In Milwaukee, December 27th at the Five Surf. Go check it out. Thank you, Al, so very much. It's been a pleasure, sir.
Enjoyed this greatly. Have a wonderful time.
You too. Take care, friend.
With you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Reedsburg man wanted for the death of his pregnant girlfriend is arrested in Missouri. Authorities there say they caught Jose Dominguez Garcia in a vehicle with stolen plates early yesterday morning. He'd been on the run since about the same time Rosalie Rodriguez's body was found in a suitcase near Eau Claire in 2020. Dominguez Garcia is charged with first-degree murder, murder of an unborn child, and hiding a corpse. A Door County woman is thankful for all the help she's getting from her neighbors. Stephanie Laskonski of Bailey's Harbor is a mother of six who's paralyzed from the chest down due to several autoimmune diseases. She's getting donations collected from spectators at yesterday's Thanksgiving Day parade in Jacksonport. The community chooses one family in need to benefit each year. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A small company creates a big business because of its leftover Thanksgiving turkey and what it means to meals today. An Instacart survey shows 98% of grocery store shoppers buy a half dozen frozen meals every year. But in 1954, it takes an over-order by Swanson Foods for the idea of a reheatable dinner to become reality. Employees at the time are facing 260 tons of extra turkey, and rather than eat the huge financial loss, individual turkey dinners are created using airline meals as an example. Each tray includes the turkey along with dressing, potatoes, gravy, and peas in individual sections. It's frozen, shipped off to grocery stores, and before the end of the year, 10 million of these trays, now being called TV dinners, are sold at just 98 cents a piece. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.